Hello and welcome. You've tuned into the right show. This is The Taxonista with Angela Sicca-Snyder on the one and only EWN Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Angela Sicca-Snyder, the Taxonista with your accountant's office here today. We're going to be talking today about making payments to the IRS, right? We all have to do it one way or another. It's sort of like death and taxes. One way or another, it's got to be done, unfortunately, right? But you know what we're going to do is we're going to go through so many different ways you can make payments, whether it be through estimates or withholdings or via credit card, all different ways, because we're in the middle of tax season right now, and I never realized how many people didn't realize the different options that are available and out there to make it easier for you. So while we may not want to do it, and while we may just want to avoid it, if you do that, unfortunately, what will happen is come tax time, and when you get your tax return and you haven't been making payments, then when you do get your tax return back, you're going to owe a lot. And what if you do and you can't make payments? So we'll go through things like that. So what if you haven't been making payments? What are your options, you know, with installment agreements and things like that? So we're going to go through the old-fashioned way of making payments, which would be writing a check and mailing in a voucher, to the new modern ways of making payments. And that's through, you know, either wire transfers or through the electronic funds, the electronic federal tax payment system, or even on a credit card if you have to. So we're going to go through those different ways. I'm also going to give you different websites to look for, all right? If you go to the IRS website and you just type in electronic payment options, it'll bring you to this great page that it gives you on different ways to make a payment. The one thing you can always do is the old-fashioned way. So we'll start with the old-fashioned way. And if you either have a voucher that you received when your tax return was prepared, it'd be called a 1040-V. You can write a check and mail that in. You can do your estimated tax payments the same way with those old-fashioned estimated payment slips. Write a check and mail it in. I do highly recommend that if you do that, that you always put your Social Security number on your check, and that you always say what year you are filing for, because it can get applied to the wrong year. It sounds silly. It sounds like maybe you've just got one big bucket, right? And it's, you know, Jane Smith's, you know, tax bucket, and all the payments would go in there, but it doesn't work that easy. So it's really important that you get it applied to the right year and then to the right type of tax. So if you're in business for yourself, you need to make sure that it gets applied to the right type of tax, whether it be payroll tax or personal income tax or business tax. That's sort of important. So you definitely need to know which tax you're submitting the payment for. Another way you can make payments is with a debit or credit card. There's lots of different places. So if you go to the IRS, or if you just Google, you know, IRS pay taxes by credit or debit card, you'll get this page that comes up that all these other credit card providers have made agreements with the IRS in order to be approved on the IRS site in which to make tax payments. Now, be forewarned, because there are fees to do this. So instead of, you know, when you go and you buy something from a store and you give them your credit card, you don't pay any fees. The person selling the items to you or the service pays the fees. So when you go to Macy's and you swipe on your, you know, your credit card, they're paying anywhere between 1 to almost 2.5 or 3% of the purchase price in fees to the credit card company. So most of you probably knew that, but for those that didn't know that, that's how that works. So the reason why you see fees when it comes to making your tax payment is because the IRS is not going to pay your credit card fees. You have to pay it. So when you look there, there's lots of different ones, and it can be a little confusing as which one to go with. But if you, you know, take a little bit of time, because they give you a flat fee just to process your card, but then they also give you a percentage fee based upon your dollar amount. So, you know, some of them are, you know, as low as like 1.87%, but some of them are as high as, you know, 2.35%. So if you really don't have the funds and you don't want penalty and interest to continue to accrue from the IRS, putting it on a credit card is a really good option, unfortunately, but it is, because the rates that the IRS charge you will more than likely exceed those credit card fee rates. So, but then you've got to look into your interest rate on your credit card. So you're going to be paying the fee to the person accepting your tax payment, but then you're also going to be paying your fee to your credit card company. So you might want to really take a look at that and determine what you think is the best for you. All right, some other ways you can do that, and that's what we just now talked about, was paying by credit or debit card. Another way is called direct pay. So what you do is you just find that location, as you would go to IRS.gov and Google direct pay. And what you do is you set up an account with the IRS in order to be able to make the payment. And so you provide them some tax information, you verify your identity, make sure it's you, you enter in the payment you want to make, and you review and electronically sign the transaction. And then you definitely want to make sure you print it out, print out the information, the confirmation that you get, so that you have proof of what you did pay. And also look up payments you've made in the past, which is quite helpful. So if you're like, I don't remember if I made that payment or not, I can't remember if I made it, you can look it up to see what was made and what wasn't made. I have that happen to me with clients all the time, and they're like, I don't remember, I think I made the payment, I'm not sure. And so if you do it electronically versus the old-fashioned check way, it's really easy to look up and find your payments that you made. Now, there's also an electronic funds withdrawal. And what this is it will automatically withdraw from your bank. I'm not as fond of this one, but you can do this. You set it up where some of the features are convenient, it's free, you set it up and you don't have to come back and do it again, but it's connected to your bank. And I personally prefer I'm going to talk about EFTPS in a minute, but this one is probably my least favorite, because you set it up and it's attached to your bank, but what if something happens and you forget and then the funds come out and you go NSF on your account or something, or you just forget about it. So I'm not as fond of that one, the electronic funds withdrawal, but it's an option. Also, tax preparers can set up, like we can have your payment pulled from your bank account. I don't like doing that. We certainly can do it, but it's just not my favorite method. What I do like, though, a lot is the EFTPS, and it stands for Electronic Federal Tax Payment System. That one's sort of nice. And you know what? I think this is time for a little quick break, because I want to talk more about that, and I don't want to stop right in the middle. So just hang with me for a second, guys, and get some notes. I will recap what we talked about previously, but just hang tight with us. We'll be right back.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Are you an entrepreneur, coach, or consultant who is tired of constantly searching for the next client? Are you ready to get your expertise out of your head, into the world, and packaged into a profitable online course that delivers a steady stream of your perfect ideal clients to your door and a steady, predictable source of revenue? Hi, this is Janine Blackwell, creator of Create Six Figure Courses Virtual Bootcamp, and I've created my own seven-figure courses, and I've walked hundreds of experts like you through the step-by-step of creating and launching a profitable online course. I'd like to invite you to a free online training I'm hosting for you called The 7 Steps to Creating and Launching Your Profitable Online Course. I'm going to show you exactly how to create your course, market your course, and automate delivery of it so you can get your course up and running fast and have it work for you 24/7. You can grab your spot for this free training at www.createmyonlinecourse.com. So join me at www.createmyonlinecourse.com.
Tune in to the Taxanista Radio Show on the EWN Radio Network every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Get to know the Taxanista as this smart and sassy numbers guru turns your piles into files and helps you pay less to the IRS. Taxanista will take that monkey off your back so you can get back to doing what you do best and focus on growing your business.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Angela Sticka-Snyder with Taxanista, your accountant's office. And we left the break, and I was going to talk about the EFTPS system, and that's the Electronic Federal Tax Payment System. This one is one of my favorite ways, if you have a favorite way to pay the IRS, but it is one of the easiest ways because you set up an account. You actually go to EFTPS.gov, and you set up an account to pay, you know, whether it be your personal or your business taxes. And it just, there's a helpline that you can talk to people. You can view your history for about, it's over a year, I think it's about 16 months of your history. You can do EFTPS over the internet. You can do it over the phone. There's just so many different ways that you can do it. And it's just the most organized. You can access it on multiple devices. You can get the history. There's a help desk. There's a help number. So it's really one of my favorite ways when you have to pay the IRS to do that. But there's still other ways as well. There's the online payment agreement. So if you owe $50,000 or less to the IRS and you need a short-term agreement to pay off your taxes, then you can apply for an online payment agreement. And this is like an installment agreement. And to do that, what you really need, there's a fee to do it. And to find out more information, you would just Google IRS online payment agreement application. And if you're going to pay it via electronic direct debit from your account, which is really basically the only way to do one of these types of agreements, is it's $52 for a direct debit, and then it's $120, so it's more if you're actually going to mail in checks. And the purpose of this online payment agreement is you've come to the end of the year, you realize that you're going to owe, and you don't have all of it. And so, unfortunately, penalty and interest do continue to accrue, but it does subside some of the penalties because there are several penalties that can be assessed. And I think we'll go over that a little bit later. But in here, what you do is you need obviously your name, email address, a physical address, and it has to be on the same address that's on your most recently filed return, your date of birth, your filing status, and of course your social security number, and you apply for it. You know what, with the EFTPS, I didn't mention this. When you sign up for the EFTPS, they mail you a PIN. They mail you an actual PIN in the old-fashioned mail that you get from in the mailbox, okay? And you have to wait for that PIN to arrive before you can make your first payment. So if you're in need of making a very quick payment, that's not going to be the route to go. But so that's why I suggest people setting up an account early before you need it, so that it is ready and available for you. But you definitely would need a little bit of time. But back on the online payment agreement, for those that happen to owe a little bit more, you just go in and you apply as an individual. You have to owe $50,000 or less, and then you can make your payment electronically. The IRS does come up with a suggested, it's actually not necessarily suggested, it's required, but an amount that you have to make, because they can't wait, they don't wait for too long in order to get their payment back. So it will come up with a calculation for you. If you cannot afford the amount that is being proposed, that is when you would need to reach out to a tax professional like myself or someone else for some guidance in that area, because there are other options for you. For instance, if you are unemployed or if you've experienced any kind of personal issues in your life, medical or things like that, we could potentially get you into what's considered the currently uncollectible status or currently not collectible status. And what happens then is the IRS realizes that, you know, you do not have the funds to pay. And so they will at least give you some time, you know, 6 months, 8 months, a year to then start making payments at that later point. The problem with that is that your penalty and interest continue to accrue, all right? So they continue to accrue, so it doesn't stop the penalty and interest calculation at all. That still happens. But this way they're not going to continue to send you things in the mail for collection. For a business on this same place for the online payment agreement application, you can sign up here for a business as well, but you have to owe $25,000 or less in combined tax, penalty, and interest. So it's not just the tax. It's all three of those, the tax, the penalty, and the interest that you can do. Now, the signing up for the online payment system, it's not available 24/7. It does have some limiting times for when you can sign up. So it's, you know, I mean, it's essentially available, you know, 24/7, but it's not available pretty much in the middle of the night kind of thing. You can also do same-day wire payments, which that's still around. There is a 800 number that you can call for assistance that way. I don't find too many people do that unless, you know, you've got a serious problem and the EFTPS system is not going to be fast enough for you, so that is an option. But you could do a same-day federal wire payment. Also, any of you out there that have been around a while and remember when you could make your tax payments at the bank, you can't do that anymore. So if you weren't aware of that, you can't. So it's just something to keep in mind, that I know that a lot of times people thought you could go and make your payment at the bank. You could before, but not anymore. Another place where you can do an installment agreement is, I would just Google, if you are in this situation, IRS payment plans installment agreement. And it gives you all the full detail of filling out the form and completing a collection information statement. So if you're ineligible for an online payment agreement, you can still make payments, but you have to complete what's considered a collection information statement, which is like a little profit and loss for yourself or your business so that the IRS can see what your bills are, what your assets are, and what your ability to pay is. Unfortunately, the IRS does go by a lot of standards. So even though you may have a really large mortgage payment or you've got large credit card bills, some of those things do not go into play to determine what your ability to pay is. You know, your mortgage payment can at sometimes, but if you just because you overspent and overindulged in a house does not, unfortunately, give you a free pass in making the payments necessary to the IRS. So definitely something to keep in mind. Also, if you have got liquidity, if you have got investment accounts, if you have got retirement funds or things like that, the IRS has been known on occasion to ask you to liquidate from there in order to make the payment. It depends on what your individual situation is, so that definitely can play into it. But, you know, the collection, it's called Form 433F, which is a collection information statement, and it's quite extensive. You also have to complete and supply them with the latest 3 months of statements, so that they can see, you know, the income coming in and out or the expenses going in and out, things like that. So it's quite a bit of data gathering, but it could be very helpful to you if needed. Let's take a quick break here, and we're going to talk a little bit more on just some of the policies and procedures and how to finagle through when you owe the IRS.
Tax laws and regulations change frequently, and their application can vary widely based on the specific facts and circumstances involved. You are responsible for consulting with your own professional tax advisors concerning specific tax circumstances for your situation. Taxanista disclaims any responsibility for the accuracy or adequacy of any action you take from the discussions here. All advice given here, including tax advice, must always be tailored to your particular circumstances, and nothing on this show should be viewed as a substitute for the advice of a competent professional. If you have questions regarding accounting issues specifically related to your industry or your business circumstances, you should consult with your own professional tax advisor, accountant, attorney, industry expert, or professional association.
Are you an entrepreneur, coach, or consultant who is tired of constantly searching for the next client? Are you ready to get your expertise out of your head, into the world, and packaged into a profitable online course that delivers a steady stream of your perfect ideal clients to your door and a steady, predictable source of revenue? Hi, this is Janine Blackwell, creator of Create Six Figure Courses Virtual Bootcamp. And I've created my own seven-figure courses, and I've walked hundreds of experts like you through the step-by-step of creating and launching a profitable online course. I'd like to invite you to a free online training I'm hosting for you called The 7 Steps to Creating and Launching Your Profitable Online Course. I'm going to show you exactly how to create your course, market your course, and automate delivery of it so you can get your course up and running fast and have it work for you 24/7. You can grab your spot for this free training at www.createmyonlinecourse.com. So join me at www.createmyonlinecourse.com.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Are you an entrepreneur, coach, or consultant who is tired of constantly searching for the next client? Are you ready to get your expertise out of your head, into the world, and packaged into a profitable online course that delivers a steady stream of your perfect ideal clients to your door and a steady, predictable source of revenue? Hi, this is Janine Blackwell, creator of Create Six-Figure Courses Virtual Bootcamp, and I've created my own seven-figure courses, and I've walked hundreds of experts like you through the step-by-step of creating and launching a profitable online course. I'd like to invite you to a free online training I'm hosting for you called The 7 Steps to Creating and Launching Your Profitable Online Course. I'm going to show you exactly how to create your course, market your course, and automate delivery of it so you can get your course up and running fast and have it work for you 24/7. You can grab your spot for this free training at www.createmyonlinecourse.com. So join me at www.createmyonlinecourse.com.
You're tuned in to the Taxonista Radio Show. We're coming back from our break, and we're going to get down to business. Here's Angela Stickesnyder.
Hi, everybody. How are you guys doing today? We have been talking about how to make the dreaded payments to the IRS, right? Death and taxes, that's what everybody says, right? Unfortunately, everybody has to do it at some point or another. But we've been talking about all the different ways to make payments to the IRS, whether it be the electronic direct pay, whether it be the EFTPS, wire, the old-fashioned paper check method, all those different ways to make payments. And then we started also talking about the different payment plans, how you can do it online. And then I gave you the location to do that. You know, if you're an individual and you owe less than $50,000 with combined tax, interest, and penalty, and then also for the businesses as well. Now, and if you owe more than that, you definitely have to go a different route, and that's by doing the installment agreement, by filling out a Form 9465, and to find out more information on this, you would Google the IRS Payment Plans Installment Agreement. And you might have to then also complete what's called a Collection Information Statement, which is like a little mini profit and loss for your business. So definitely something that is time-consuming and a lot of data gathering. You could easily do that yourself, but when you get into that level of detail, I would probably definitely reach out to Taxonista or to your tax professional as well, because I think it would be time and money well spent. Now, one thing to also keep in mind, this came up with a client recently, is that they hadn't filed their taxes in a while, so the IRS only knew where they were based upon their last known address from the tax return they'd filed. This was a new client we had gotten. And so the IRS found them when this person eventually got a regular paying job, a W-2 job. And so they just marched right on over, not literally, but reached out to the employer and forced them to change their withholdings because they had owed. And that can be embarrassing. So if you're in this situation where you owe, just know that at some point, the IRS will locate you, and it could be embarrassing. And so this person was quite embarrassed because they'd gotten a new job, and the IRS had found them fairly quickly and sent a letter to the employer. And I don't think they're not levying the wages, although I think that's coming. It forced them to change their withholdings down to like single and zero and withhold some additional funds. So, you know, not something you want to have happen to you. But that's what brings up the change of address. If you move, if you file your taxes on time all the time, then and you move, the IRS knows you've moved because there's a new address on your tax return. But if you actually move, and you're not current on your taxes, it's really important to file a change of address with the IRS. I know it's probably something everybody wants to do, right? But it's with Form 8822. And it's a way of keep making sure that if they do need to reach out to you, that they can, because it can be quite embarrassing, like I said, other methods that they can locate you by. So something to keep in mind. Now, one of the reasons why I bring up making payments to the IRS is because the penalties and interest that can continue to accrue on unpaid taxes can be steep, and it grows. And so even if you're in a currently uncollectible status, that doesn't stop the penalty and interest. And so it's really important that you understand what they are. I'm not going to get into specific details on the percent because the interest rate does change frequently, or it can change frequently. And in fact, the interest rate really is not the big deal because interest rates right now are so low. It's the penalty rate. And there's different types of penalties. So there is a penalty for the failure to pay tax by the due date. And there's a penalty for the failure to file a tax return by the due date. And then, of course, there's interest. Right now, I don't know what the interest rate is, but I'm going to say it's probably in the 3-4% range. There's no way it's over 5. It's probably in the 3-4% range. But the penalty for the failure to pay the tax by the due date, because it is due to be paid by April 15th, of the prior tax year. The late payment penalty applies to any portion of that federal tax that is unpaid as of the payment due date. So for each month or a part of a month, the tax remains unpaid. The IRS imposes that failure to pay penalty of 0.5% per month. And it goes all the way up to 25%. So that's a lot. So, you know, if you've got a short time period, then it's not a big deal. It's 0.5%. But it can grow up to 25%. Now, the other one, which is the penalty for the failure to file a tax return by the due date, is that late payment penalty applies to any portion of tax that is unpaid as of the payment due date, and the tax return is filed after the filing due date. The failure to file penalty is calculated based upon the time from the deadline of your tax return, obviously including extensions, if you filed an extension, to the date you actually file your tax return. And this one is the one that's high. And this penalty is 5% for each month or part of a month that the tax return is late. And that goes up to a maximum penalty of 25%. So you could be hit with both of those penalties if you ignore the situation, which is 50%, the maximum of 50% plus the interest. Now, there are ways in which the IRS can waive the penalty if you can show reasonable cause for the late payment. Reasonable cause can be, you know, several different ways, but just sticking your head in the sand, unfortunately, is not reasonable cause. A death in the family, a serious illness, those are the ones we usually see. There are others, but those are the ones that we will usually see. Now, an extension. Extensions are really important to make sure that you file. Because, look up here, while I'm doing this, but extensions are really important to do because if you have an S corporation or a partnership and you don't file an extension, then the penalty is, I think it's $195. I usually round it up to $200, but it might as well be. It's $195 per partner or shareholder per month. So if you have two people in your business and you don't file for 6 months after the extension, then you're looking at $400 a month times 6 months. That's a lot of money. And you can get that abated once and only once. So it's quite important that you pay attention to those deadlines. Now, you can get an easy extension to file your return for your individual. That is filed on Form 48C, 60 days, and you just fill out your information and you send it in. Also on there, I think it asks for your income and your withholding. You're not going to know it probably, so don't worry about putting it in there. Just get that form filed. Now, if you have a business, that's on form 7004, and it's really important because of the penalties on that. I mean, individual it is too. So I'm going to say for both of those, I would definitely file those and mail them certified mail return receipt. Because if it doesn't get there on time, and this has happened to us, if it doesn't get there on time, then you're going to be subject to those penalties because the IRS doesn't think you filed an extension. So I would definitely watch for that. Okay, so just to recap what we have talked about today is we've talked about the different ways to make your tax payments, whether it be the old-fashioned way, make sure you always write on there your Social Security number and the type of tax or the year you're paying it for. And then we went through the different online ways you can make payments. We also went through setting up an account, you know, with EFTPS. And with your credit card company, not with your credit card company, but with the credit card companies that the IRS have on their site that you can make a payment with. But don't forget, you'll still be paying interest, which still could be less, on your credit card for it. We talked about changing your address with the IRS, and then also the different ways you can come up with a payment plan, whether it be the streamlined way online, or whether it be a little bit more laborious task if you owe more. And then also an extension, filing an extension, how to and why you should. And as far as the addresses to mail those forms, it's real simple. If you just Google, IRS extension of time to file your tax return, it gives you the link for the forms. It gives you the address on where to mail it. And it's really, and if you ever don't know where to mail something, just Google where to mail, IRS extension, and it will give you the address as far as where to go. All of these things are really important things to keep in mind. Nobody wants to do it. Nobody likes doing it. But it's pretty important to keep that in mind. So just remember to reach out to Taxonista. We can be reached here at 480-331-3316. You can also reach us on both of our websites, and that is taxonista.com, TAXANISTA.com, and also at youraccountantsoffice.com. And we hope to get some information out of this and we'll make paying the IRS just a little bit easier. And also keep in mind, if you're a business owner, you may not want to always maximize your deductions, because if you're looking to bring in a partner or sell your business, make sure you strategize with your tax professional and realize that it's a plan. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Had a great time.
Do you have a small business? Give Taxonista a call. We specialize in strategic growth and planning for small businesses. We can clean up the back of the house so you can put your best foot forward. The number to remember is 480-331-3316. That's 480-331-3316. You can also check us out and watch our video at taxonista.com. Let us take that monkey off your back so you can get back to doing what you do best.